All right, welcome to session 7, which I've titled Personal Testimony and Church Expectations. This is going to be another really short session. I really just wanted to say a couple of things, share my personal testimony, and then sort of give what I think are pastoral considerations for how I think we should move forward, regardless of whether you have listened to the whole seminar and fully agree with what I'm saying, or if you still really disagree with a lot of what I'm saying. No matter where you sort of end up on it theologically, I have some considerations for us as a church. And so let's just get into a couple of things here. The first thing I want to say, and I know I've said it before, but I just want to repeat it again, because I think it's such an important thing to say over and over and over again. And that is that water baptism does not change you. It does not save you. The decision to repent and follow Jesus, followed by the giving of the Spirit, that is what saves you. That is what changes you on a metaphysical level. That is what transforms you. And that is where you really begin your spiritual walk. But I do want to say that water baptism is a beautiful way to honor God, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, and to show the community that you are dedicated to following Jesus. And so, when I think about this whole topic, my mind started changing on this in 2019, and I had a couple of final questions that, like I said, were finally answered by Victor Gluckin's seminar for his church. And I was able to review that material in late 2019 and in early 2020. And as I was going through this process of changing my mind on it and finally got to the point where I basically am now, where it's like, water baptism was commanded by Jesus and it was done by the apostles all through the book of Acts, and Paul did it. And there's never, any indication that there's anything wrong with it. All these kinds of things I've sort of laid out in this seminar. I made the decision to be baptized. But by the time I made the decision to be baptized, COVID had happened. And so there was no way to travel anywhere. Not even locally, not many churches were doing stuff. And I didn't want to be baptized by just anyone. I wanted to be baptized by people that I loved and admired and respected. And so I had the honor to go to Living Hope as part of the vetting process at the beginning of the process for starting Compass, what would become Compass, because we didn't even have a name for it back then, back in May 2021. And I told Sean that on that particular trip, I wanted to be baptized. And so he figured it out and arranged it. And he and Jerry, my good friend Jerry, baptized me. And it was a really cool moment. I had, my wife with me there. I had my son, Liam, and Hannah, my daughter, Hannah. Isaac was not yet born. But it was a really cool moment. But here's the thing. I've had the Spirit for a very long time. I've been a Christian for a very long time. Nothing changed for me. Nothing metaphysical happened. I didn't know what to expect. I was praying and asking God to show me if something special was going to happen during my baptism. And I'm just going to tell you, nothing changed metaphysically for me. I have heard instances of people in my situation who, had been Christian for a long time and have had the Spirit for a long time, that God would give them, like a physical healing, especially. I'm thinking about Ken LaProd has a story about that he shared with Sean on the Restitutio podcast. He had a physical need. God healed him physically during his water baptism. So I'm not saying God can't do something metaphysical during a later water baptism. I'm just telling you it didn't happen to me. So, I remained as committed to following Jesus as I always was. The reason, even though, even knowing what I know now, even knowing that nothing metaphysical changed for me, I would still do it again. I would still go back and be water baptized, because for me, it was a way for me, in some respects, to go back in time in my faith journey and honor God and honor my Lord Jesus the way I would have as a child if I had grown up in a church that believes like I do now. If I grew up in a church where the head pastor believed what I believed, you know, at like age 12 or whatever, I would have been baptized or whatever, you know, fill in the blank, whatever age you think is appropriate. I would have been water baptized. And I may have received the Spirit then. I may have received the Spirit earlier. And I think I might have received the Spirit as a pretty young child. So I don't know. All these questions are interesting. I don't have answers for all of them, but I do know that Jesus commanded people to be water baptized and that the apostles did it faithfully. And that in light of those two facts, I wanted to go back to the beginning. I wasn't, expecting anything miraculous. Nothing miraculous happened, but I still took it as a fundamental act of obedience, and so I did it. Now, does that mean that I think that you should do it? No. No, you'll have to search your own heart and pray and ask God to show you what's appropriate for your walk. That may be for you to be water baptized. That may be for you to not be. I'm not here to cast judgment one way or the other. I'm just telling you what I thought and the process that I went through. The example that I gave in the deep dive that I did a while back is, I think, helpful in this case. And that is, think about someone who eloped, a couple that, you know, has been married for some time, but they never had a real marriage ceremony. They just eloped. You know, they traveled off and they went to a courthouse and no one else was there except for the justice of the peace and maybe a passerby or something, right? So, you know, someone who eloped. Are they still married? Yeah. Yeah. Are they still in the covenant relationship with one another? Yeah, absolutely. But now if they go back, let's say they go back 20 years later, they've been married 20 years and they say, you know, why don't we have a ceremony? You know, why don't we, you know, share our love in front of all of our family and friends? Wouldn't that still be a meaningful thing? I think it would be still a meaningful thing. So, you know, any one of you that's listening who, you know, maybe you weren't water baptized because maybe like me, you grew up in a church that taught against it. Or maybe you saw your friends doing it and you just never got around to it. You know, I'd encourage you to think about it. I'm not saying that it's necessary. It's not necessary. If you don't get water baptized, in my mind, it doesn't diminish your status in Christ. It doesn't diminish your status in Compass. Like, this is not a test. It's not like we're going to go through and do something if you're not water baptized. That's not what I'm trying to get at all. What I'm trying to suggest, though, is that you might find as you pray that it holds, that water baptism now holds new meaning and new purpose for you. And you might, like I did, want to go back and decide to do it. Sort of like eloping with God, you know, however many years ago you got saved or born again. And now you want to go back and have a ceremony. There's nothing wrong with that. It can be a beautiful thing. And I want to say here also that that can be a public thing if you want it to be a public thing, or it can be a private thing. If you want it to just be, you know, like me and your spouse, or me and, you know, if you have adult kids or whatever, a smaller group that you have in mind, or another one of our elders who's willing to do it, and a small group, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do it that way too. It doesn't have to be one size fits all. There's lots of different ways to think about this. So as we close, I just want to give that, you know, so that's sort of my personal testimony. I want to give our church expectations for what I really think, how our church should handle this from a practical perspective. And again, I want to be very explicit about this. My expectations for the seminar are not that you change your mind about this doctrinally, okay? It's not to change your mind. Hopefully, I've given you enough evidence to support our leadership doing and performing water baptisms. Hopefully, I've given you enough biblical evidence to support the positive practice of it. And so even if you disagree with some of what I said doctrinally, I hope you understand the basis, the biblical basis for why as an organization we've decided to perform them. But you know, even if you don't agree with me 100% or, you know, don't agree with me at all, I don't know where you might end up on this. I would encourage you to understand that Compass is on the biblical basis that I gave in the seminar. We will be performing baptisms. Now, look, if in the review process that we're going to be going through first as a leadership body and then as a congregation, if in the review process that I am found to be wrong fundamentally on certain points, then, you know, we can revisit this. You know, I'm open to revisiting it. But, you know, in the case, I'm assuming that I've done my homework well and that everything that I've taught is sound and solid enough at least to support a positive view of water baptism, then I would think that we can move forward with that in mind, that we will continue to be performing water baptisms. We haven't performed a public water baptism at Compass yet, but I'm hoping to do so starting this spring and summertime. So as such, if those of you still disagree on this doctrinally, this is my one ask for you. You know, you don't have to agree with us doctrinally. That's totally fine and understandable. But I would ask that you are supportive of those who wish to be water baptized for whatever personal reasons that they have. So if someone, you know, especially our young people, I'm thinking our young people, there might be a couple of water baptisms in the upcoming year or maybe a couple years. There may be some of us older people that want to be water baptized. I would encourage you to be supportive of that. Not that you have to agree with it doctrinally, but that you'd be supportive of it and speak positively of it. Understanding that for them, it's a beautiful symbol of their commitment to God. Much like, again, we've talked about communion, we've talked about the marriage covenant, but I would also remind some of us had salt covenants that some of us took in our weddings or in different initiation rites that some of us have gone through. So the salt covenant, you know, it's a meaningful physical thing. It has meaning and value, even if it's just a symbol, okay? And so I think that's how we can understand water baptism as well. So that's my encouragement as a congregation. Let's be supportive of those who want to be water baptized. And, you know, we don't have to all agree on this doctrinally. There's a lot of ways people can come down on this. And just like we always do at Compass, there's no one, you know, right answer that I expect you to all believe. This is not a statement of faith kind of a thing. But, you know, we are going to be doing it for the reasons provided in the seminar, unless the review shows something different. So with that, I really appreciate your willingness to listen to the seminar and your willingness to walk in unity and show those five dispositions from Ephesians 4, even if we don't have all of the doctrinal unity that they enjoyed in the first century church. So thank you so much for listening. I appreciate your willingness to listen and to engage with this material. I look forward to your feedback, your questions, your comments. God bless you all.